Good evening. Thank you so much for having me here. I feel a little bit out of place. I think Ned Mayhem said he is an experimenter, not a theorist. I, unfortunately, am a theorist. Go theory! Woo! Shout out! I, however, have found myself doing an experiment, which I'm going to hopefully get some volunteers with later. This is based on some previous work we did. I'm also a bit beyond my comfort zone because this experiment is something I would never actually do if it wasn't that I had a very strange moment. I have, as you can see, Vanzendorfer and Vanzendorfer. My friend Leif Penzendorfer has named us that, and our research creation projects together are done under the auspices of Vanzendorfer and Vanzendorfer. He was feeling very bad about 6 months ago. We felt we were too old to be in the game studies game. Our young friends said, we're going to Ars Electronica, and we're going to have sex games. We're going to make sex games, and we're going to have sex and sex games. And Leif and I, we have a tug-of-war game. We play it with kids and people who think it's funny. And I woke up at 4 in the morning, and I thought, I don't want him to be depressed anymore, because he was sad, because his wife lives in France, and he doesn't. And he felt kind of sad, and I said, emailed him, nipple clamps. We'll put nipple clamps on it. 2 hours later, yes. Excellent. So here I am. You'll notice he is not. Our other colleague who has been here for Ars Electronica is Amanda Williams, and she did, big shout out for Amanda. She is absolutely amazing. She did most of the programming for this project because as a philosopher, and that's how I position myself, I don't know how to do that. See, I'm an ideas guy, right? Anyway, this is our project. I have to start by saying right away an amazing shout to Gopi. Gopi? I'm sorry, it's Gopi. Because he, Gopi. Now, okay, I'm out of here. No, his talk about phenomenology was frankly much better than mine will be, and it saves me having to go over some points and be boring. That was really good. I think also there's a lot of discussion about the social aspects of technology, which I'm going to try and skirt, so please bear with me. I'm aware that there's a much broader social agenda, but that doesn't happen to be mine, not because it's not important, but I'm just not that smart. And so I keep it obscure, so that way people think I'm a little smarter than I am. Anyway, so Sex Invaders, the eroticized digital tug-of-war game. Now, here's my odd question. This is why I started doing this. What are we talking about when we say minds? Now, I know my own mind. He's got a mind of his own. I don't mind. We use these words, but what exactly are we getting at? And this is a relatively complex and obscure thing, and I'm struggling with it through my PhD studies. I have my own little approach, which may be right or may be wrong. And I'm coming to you today not knowing what my question is, not knowing what my answers will be, and not knowing what my device is going to do, because it is a prototype. But one word we use is intentionality, and I think Gopi put it in one way, I put it in, it's the experience of having experience. When we look at each other, we think there's a person there. We see another human being. We think there's something going on similar behind their eyes, much as behind our own. But we don't know this. We don't know this for sure. We hope we do. Behaviorist psychology science has their method of doing this. They simply say the human mind is a black box we can't know, but we can do things to it and get a response. And that's Pavlov, and this goes back almost 100 years in theory. Are there any psychologists in the audience? Oh, thank God. I'm playing fast and loose, but I hope this gets the idea across. And then you have B.F. Skinner in the 50s and 60s, and I believe into the 70s, and he argued, well, there's a learning system that goes on here, so he's got a much more complex model than I'm showing. But nonetheless, the problem is we don't know what's going in here. I mean, I'm not sure what's going in here, and what other people at this point may be saying is, well, what's going on in there? Anyway, so I'm interested in looking at that problem, but I'm looking at it not as a scientist, but as a philosopher. So I've taken what's called a phenomenological approach, and I'm not going to recap Gopi's excellent discussion of this because, frankly, it's better than mine. What I'm going to do is start with this quote from Maurice Merleau-Ponty, who followed on to the philosopher that Gopi mentioned. And you can experiment with this right now if you like. This is not necessarily a sexual nature, but it could be, and I'll get to that. If my left hand can touch my right hand, and can touch it touching, have you ever, hold hands and like, well, which hand's touching which? Well, they're both touching, but then you can kind of shift and you go back and forth. Why, when touching the hand of another, would I not touch in the same power to espouse in it the things that I've touched in my own? That's philosopher talk. That's wordy. What he means is, I guess, if I can touch myself, what's the difference between touching myself and touching another person? Oh, they're another person, but this is very much constructed when we say, well, I'm an individual, I'm a monad. I'm not like you, there's this separation. And I think that this idea of a collective consciousness, this idea we have this moment where you're not really sure where it's going, you seem to understand another person, they seem to understand you, we have those moments, hopefully. That seems to be a very interesting moment to look at. And what does it mean if that touching is mediated? And that gets to why I've got this very bizarre little controller prototype device, because I'm interested in seeing how we mediate, and specifically how we experience each other when we play. This is a bit of a fraught idea. It's been, I believe it was touched in our keynote presentation, and forgive me because I'm not going to try and mispronounce your name. Is when we're playing, we're kind of lost in the moment. Now, I think Eleanor gave a really good presentation earlier about all the social and economic interactions that we have, and I'm not for a moment going to say that those are not important, they're not present when we're playing. When you play a game and you're lost in it, you just bought the game. You're paying for online service. You're not working. You're doing something else. There's a whole realm of social aspects. But in that moment when we're playing, however, we seem to be lost in our own space, in our own time. I think most people here, who here games? Who here has ever had a moment when they're so lost in the moment they don't know what time it is when they get out of it? If anybody's not had that, well, either your life is much happier than mine or much unhappier. But I think that's wonderful. That's what I'm interested in, that loss of time. And loss of time in play. And it comes back to some ideas in Husserl, Edmund Husserl, who talks about the epoché, where you push everything aside to try and grasp reality. You try to push aside all the things you know and just say, well, what am I experiencing? What am I feeling? So I'm interested in looking at that. I don't have any specific answers, but that's what I want to look at. Now, this was this summer. That was at the Push Me, Pull You, which is a version of what I'm doing here. That was with the Bizarro Game Controllers, Amanda Williams and Joachim Desplein put that together at Maker Faire. So we had a lot of weird game controllers. We had Play-Doh game controllers you could use as drum pads. We had a scream game where you had to scream to make a monster hug people who would run away from them. And then he said, yes, this poor monster is unloved because it's ugly. And then it catches people and they love him and they become friends. He said, no, it's a stalker game. However, it was fun. Children loved it because you screamed. That was your control method. So, all day long for 2 days, little children screaming. It was great. We had other wacko things. Now, here was our controller. Now, if you look up in the corner, you can sort of see this tube-like thing that these two men have, and they're tugging on it, and that is playing Pong, and it's making a Pong paddle in the electronic game Pong go up and down. So they have to work together, and that's a feature of this controller, is it's cooperative. It's not competitive. We are looking at how we can make it more competitive, but for now it is a cooperative game. You see the young man who is the son, I believe, of the older gentleman there. He is he's basically blowing into an alcohol sensor to play the other side of the Pong game. So there were some very bizarre controllers. So we're experimenting with what it means to play and how we can interact differently rather than just pushing buttons. Wii controllers, or that idea, Kinect, I think people were talking about Kinect and the possibilities for different play. So we played with that, and we had some interesting experiences with it. But once we came up with this idea, which is primarily so that my friend would not feel depressed, we started looking at, our origins are tug of war. Who's played tug of war? Who here has pulled a stump out of the ground? Who's pulled out more than one stump out of the ground? My career is varied. And the interesting thing is, when you pull a stump, sometimes you think it's going to come out, and all of a sudden it yanks back like it's got a mind of its own. And you can have a similar experience, and it's very strange to have something pull. And you say, well, I know, it's a stump. The stump's not. It's a stump. It's not an inanimate object. Well, if you look at what the force is on the rope, it's behaving just like a guy who's gets that second wind, and he pulls back, and he's trying to pull you out. Anyway, so we looked at tug-of-war, and we thought this was kind of a fun thing to look at for play. And it's quite simple. We also looked at Space Invaders, which is a particular iteration. We're using a version of it that was made by, I believe it's Eric Kebish, who is one of Amanda's colleagues from UC Irvine. So we've got the origin, Space Invaders. People are familiar with this, I think. It's a little old school. I understand the consoles are now sold for thousands of dollars. And, or hiding in basements, indeed. So what does it mean if that touching is mediated and sexual? We've discussed, obviously, the theme of this conference is sexuality. And I'm a little embarrassed. I'm not that embarrassed. I admit my ignorance. I'm not particularly focused on sexuality at all in my research. In fact, it wasn't until this summer that I really registered as being particularly relevant to what I was doing. So please bear with me if I say things which are ignorant, because I go to school because I'm ignorant, not because I know things. And that's why I'm here, because I expect to hear comments from people who know more than I do. Prefaced without too much abuse, if possible, so I looked at it and said, well, if you're tugging, you're touching, well, that can be sexual, and that can be a place to explore, and that is certainly a place where if you're playing, and you're playing at sex games, presumably you've got that moment where you've lost that track of time, and time is an issue that's very important. In phenomenology, very critical. A lot has been written. One of the big tomes, 400 pages of Being and Time by Martin Heidegger, talks about what it's like to be being, and you have to. If you're being, if you are, if something exists, it has to exist in time. And being lost in time is part of play, so I'm interested in that. Here is a basic outline of our prototype, and it hasn't progressed very much from that little sketch I did up there. We have a stretch sensor. For those of you that do electronics, it's basically a variable resistor with rubber, and you pull on it, and I'll just demonstrate it here. It's the black, almost invisible cable in the middle, and there are the nipple clamps. I look at them with some trepidation. It goes into an Arduino processor, which is here. And again, a nifty little thing for relatively non-technical people, such as myself, to be able to talk to computers. And then we have a version of Space Invaders. It's code by Eric Kebish, and it's done in processing, which is a kind of a simplified form of the Java language. So again, if you're not technical, it's a really easy way to do this kind of stuff without having to spend years learning to program, which is something, one of the reasons I'm a philosopher is my mathematical skills are, shall we say, lackluster. The game itself is cooperative. If I can get volunteers to come up here and play this with me, we're actually working together. We're not fighting it out. Players pull together to move the avatar. And you can see our little simplified representation of Space Invaders there. And there's a processing screen in the back with data. There is no electricity in the clamps. You will not get an electric shock, and I sure won't, because I tell you, this sounds like a great idea at 4 in the morning. Yes, let's put nipple clamps on. And then 6 months, you know, have you ever used a nipple clamp, Adam?
No.
I once pinched myself with a pair of pliers. Did you like it?
No.
Okay. So, and it uses the processing language. So that's where we're at. So, and here's a blown up bigger version of it. Again, it's very simplified. And can I get a volunteer? I'm Adam. This is interesting. In the abstract, I said I will then attach a nipple clamp to my nipple. So I feel honor bound. I'm going to do this. If anybody takes a photograph of me now, it's probably better because my friends are going to go, oh, in about 10 seconds. Adam, if you're comfortable, you can put it on your nipple. If not, you can attach it to any part of your body that you feel comfortable with. Okay, let me set this up. So the point of this, other than to hopefully amuse you, was it's a relatively simple way to examine how people interrelate while they're playing. We do have a data stream, and in fact, one of the people on my committee, Dr. Xiaoxin Wei, says, in fact, this is doomed to failure. There's not the possibility of enough granularity to ever do this. However, he also wrote me a nice letter getting me into the PhD program on the basis of that, so I'm kind of pleased about that. But it's interesting to have a nice, simple thing. Philosophers like to do that, like think about the cup. Well, think about your nipple. It's also a means, and this is relevant perhaps more to my colleague, is a means to examining the extension of senses in the area of play. And again, whether we're pulling on the tug of war, whether we're pulling a nipple, whether we're interacting, it's a way of doing this. And finally, this is just plain a spur for new questions, questions we haven't thought of, questions I'm not sure of, questions I may wake up with. You may have questions as to why we would do this, or suggestions as to what we should do with this. And that's kind of why I came here. And so with that, and because it will spur supper time, I'm going to say thank you, and if you have any questions, I'd be pleased to answer them.
Yeah. I made a lot of stupid jokes already, so questions from the audience. Come on.
Yeah.
I think the obvious question is, was this a sexual experience for you?
No. It was not, and I would by no means think that this would be a sexual experience for many people, but it's an interesting one to explore to see how you can do this. So
it might be an interesting way to combine that game and the high score, whatever output that gives to, I don't know, like controlling a teleprodomic device or something like that, a third person who get, I don't know.
Yeah. It certainly has potential, I guess, for moderate things. I was thinking about the rhythm of the game, how that would work. Could be interesting, but I'm not sure if you could even put it into some kind of absolute.
Well, then my question actually is about the game design, because we're modeling it after tug of war, essentially player versus player.
Yes.
And yet this version is player and player cooperation. Was there a reason for that disconnection between what the original game is based off of as far as what the game goal is versus this version?
Yeah.
That the system became the enemy, or the
This is an excellent question. This is partially making a feature out of a bug. It's much harder to make a system like this where you have two people fighting, it's much easier to make it cooperative. So to implement it in this version, it was just easier and faster to do it. We would like to have both cooperative and competitive modes, but we have to divine what that means, and we have to figure out how to do this. This is dead simple. You can do this for about $35, $40 to make this thing. The code is quite easy to get. But to make something where you fight over it, we looked at how we would do that, and we said, well, we're going to need more technology, we're going to need more devices, we're going to need a more committed coder. Amanda did great jobs, but I mean, literally, she comes in, it works. There's not a lot of, so whereas if she said, if you want to make that, we're going to have to get funding, was her words.
My follow-up to that is that Ben has a lot of applications towards the game industry, which seems, certainly from evidence, to be able to make competitive games so much more easier than cooperative games. And you're essentially presenting that the opposite is true, that cooperation was much easier to model rather than competitiveness.
In this case, and I think this comes to the issues of technological affordances. The device, the
Xbox needs nipple clamps, is what we're saying.
I think there's no question about that. I'm gonna go out there and make a value judgment and say yes. It will be interesting to hack and think about, because I think one of the big problems is there's a tremendous emphasis on the game. And you know what? The game, and I did quite a bit of work on Rock Band. And Rock Band, the stuff that's on the screen doesn't matter. It's the music and the people. You're there to see your friends act like rock stars. You're there to replace them and be a rock star. It's what's going on in front of the screen. It's much more interesting. If you're sitting there, you know, pushing buttons, I don't know. It's fun to do, but it's not so fun to watch. But when people move around, that's fun. People and it's interesting. Thank you.
And the